Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Scott Joplin and the Musical Hiccup. Listen closely. Most music follows a steady heartbeat, like a clock on a wall that never misses a second. Tick, 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 tick. Perfectly even, perfectly predictable. But this music? This music decided the clock should play a game of tag. It zigs when you expect it to zag. It hops when you think it will step. It's got a little hiccup hiding inside every measure. Can you feel it? That bouncy, skippy feeling, like the melody is winking at you. That is syncopation, a fancy word for a musical surprise. Syncopation is when the rhythm takes a little skip right when you expected it to march straight ahead. It's a hiccup that makes your ears perk up and wonder, wait, how did we get over here? It's what makes this music feel so alive, so playful, so impossible to ignore. And there was one man, a man with quick fingers and an enormous dream, who turned these musical hiccups into a whole new kind of sound. A sound that belonged to America. His name was Scott Joplin. Scott's childhood was a symphony of clashing sounds. He was born in 1868 in a small town in Texas. His father worked on the railroad, and Scott grew up hearing the heavy, rhythmic clank of hammers on iron rails, a driving, powerful beat that never stopped. But when Scott went to work with his mother, who cleaned houses for wealthy families, he heard something completely different. The soft, velvet chime of a piano in a quiet parlour. Elegant melodies floating through rooms that smelled of furniture polish and flowers. Two completely different worlds of sound. The heavy, driving railroad rhythm and the delicate, graceful piano. Scott Joplin spent his whole life trying to make those two sounds hold hands. Little Scott was fascinated by the piano. Whenever his mother took him along to those big houses, he would sneak over to the keyboard and press the keys, one by one, listening to each note like it was telling him a secret. And the music that filled his heart came from two different places. From his African heritage, music full of tricky rhythms, music that made your whole body want to move. And from the European classical music he heard in churches and parlours, elegant and carefully built, like a beautiful house made of sound. What if those two worlds could meet? What if they could dance together? When Scott was a teenager, he left home to make his own way in the world. He played piano in churches. He played in restaurants. He travelled from town to town, his fingers dancing across any keyboard he could find. And then, in his 20s, he arrived in a busy little Missouri city called Sedalia. And Sedalia had something magical. A club called the Maple Leaf Club. It was the kind of place where the piano never stopped playing, and the wooden floors shook with dancing feet every single night. Scott got a job playing piano there, and every night he tried something new. His left hand kept a steady march, like a soldier's boots on a parade ground. But his right hand was playing hooky, skipping and hopping between the beats, landing in all the unexpected places. The dancers went wild. They'd never moved to anything like it. People started calling this new music ragtime. Do you know why? Because of all those hiccups. Remember how syncopation makes the rhythm skip and stumble? Well, people said it sounded like the time itself was all ragged, torn up. Not smooth and neat like a waltz, but bumpy and bouncy and wonderfully messy, like a shirt with a rumpled collar. Ragged time, ragtime. And a piece of ragtime music, that's called a rag. In 1899, Scott Joplin published his most famous rag. He named it after that club where he'd found his sound, the Maple Leaf Rag. And here's something amazing. It became one of the first pieces of sheet music ever to sell more than a million copies. Suddenly, pianos all across America were bouncing with Scott Joplin's ragged rhythms. Listen to a different part of the Maple Leaf Rag now. This is one of its later strains, a new room in the musical house. Hear how the left hand is marching along, steady as a heartbeat, solid and dependable, like the foundation of a house. That's the European part. The structure that holds everything together. But the right hand is doing something completely different. It's dancing on top of that steady march, jumping between the beats, landing where you don't expect. That's the African part, the rhythm that makes your soul want to move. Two musical traditions from two different continents meeting in the fingers of one man at a piano in Missouri. Something brand new, something that could only have been born in America. here's something wonderful about how Joplin built his rags. Each rag has different sections called strains. Think of them like rooms in a house. You walk through one room, then the music opens a door, and suddenly you're somewhere completely new. The maple leaf rag has four strains, four rooms. The first room might be bright and sunny, full of bouncing energy. Then a door opens and you're in a cozy parlour with velvet curtains. Another door? Now you're in a garden where everything sparkles. And finally, a grand ballroom where everyone's dancing. And just like wandering through a house, sometimes you circle back to visit a room you've already seen. Listen to this next rag and see if you can feel when the music opens a new door. Could you feel those different rooms? Each section had its own colour, its own mood. Now here's something important about Scott Joplin, something that shows us who he really was. He didn't just want to write music that made people dance. He wanted ragtime to be respected. He wanted the world to see that this fun music was real art, as important as any symphony or opera ever written. At the top of every piece of sheet music, Joplin printed special instructions. He wrote, "Notice, don't play this piece fast. It is never right to play ragtime fast." He was saying, "Slow down. Listen to every note. Hear the cleverness. Hear the beauty. This isn't just background noise for a party. This is music that matters." That instruction tells us everything about Scott Joplin. He had dignity, he had pride in his work, and he believed with his whole heart that what he created deserved to stand alongside the greatest music ever written. Some of Joplin's pieces weren't bouncy at all. Listen to this one. It's called Bethina. And it's a waltz, slow and dreamy, like watching snowflakes drift past a window on a quiet winter night. This is the Scott Joplin that most people didn't know. The man who could write music that made you want to dance, but also music that made you want to close your eyes and float away. He was a poet, he was a painter. He just happened to use piano keys instead of words or brushes. Joplin spent years working on something even bigger than his rags, his greatest dream, an opera. He called it Treemonisha. It told the story of a young woman who brings hope and wisdom to her community through the power of education. Joplin poured everything he had into it, all his skill, all his heart, all his savings. But in Joplin's time, it was terribly hard for a black composer to have an opera taken seriously. Doors closed in his face. People who should have helped him turned away. He spent his own money trying to make his dream come true. Treemonisha was performed just once while Joplin was alive, in a small hall with no costumes, no scenery, just voices and a single piano. Not the grand production he had imagined. Scott Joplin died in 1917. He was only 48 years old. And his opera, the work he believed in most, seemed to die with him. But here's where the story turns beautiful again. Joplin's music didn't stay quiet. It kept playing. It kept dancing off pianos across America, year after year, even when people had forgotten who wrote it. And then, more than 50 years after Joplin died, something magical happened. In 1973, a movie called The Sting used Scott Joplin's rags as its soundtrack. Suddenly, millions of people were hearing the entertainer. People who had never heard of ragtime were humming Joplin's melodies in the shower. The world finally understood what Joplin had always known. This wasn't just party music. This was genius. The next year, Scott Joplin was awarded a special Pulitzer Prize, one of the highest honours in all of American arts. And Treemonisha? His beloved opera was finally performed the way he'd always dreamed, with a full orchestra, beautiful costumes, and audiences who leapt to their feet cheering. Joplin wasn't there to see it, but his music finally got the tuxedo and the standing ovation he had always believed it deserved. So what can we learn from Scott Joplin all these years later? That the most wonderful things are sometimes born when you mix ideas nobody has ever mixed before. African rhythms plus European elegance equals something brand new. Something that belongs only to you. That it's worth believing in your work, even when others don't understand it yet. Even when it takes longer than your own lifetime. And that a tricky little thing called syncopation, a musical hiccup, a surprise hiding in the beat, can make ordinary notes come dancing to life. The next time you hear music that seems to wink at you, music that skips and bounces and refuses to sit still, you might just be hearing the spirit of Scott Joplin. Still building bridges between worlds, still playing tricks with time. Good night, little one, and may your dreams have a bounce in their step and a happy little hiccup hiding in every beat.